Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, folks, we're right back, and we're going to pick up Jacob. Jacob is our official federal fornicating inspector. He's assistant lead. Lee does that. Lee works for the federal government that way. He makes sure that all the federal fornicators in Washington, D.C. are fornicating according to government standards. Anyway, besides that, his other job was he was up in Knoxville, Tennessee this week with his dad. Y'all, I hope y'all knew that was a joke. But anyway, because Jacob is kind of a teetotaler like Lee. I got to work on them. Sam's a teetotaler, too. I mean, what's up with these teetotalers, man? These teetotaling Mormons. I mean, what's wrong with them? What's up with that? But anyway, Jacob, what you doing tonight, son?
Hey, Eddie. Glad to be on with y'all.
Well, I wish we could say the same. I mean, I'm sorry. We're glad you're on, too, Jacob. No. Hey, listen, before we go, I'm going to let people know, praise God, we should have our donate now button for if you want to donate to Blood River on next week. We've got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. All we got to do, we have to have a deposit made in our bank. And pray for it to get going. Pray for my knee. Pray for my temper that I lose sometimes. And pray for my co-host, because as bad as I am, they're even worse. I mean, it's, you would not believe it. But anyway, Jacob, you were at the University of Tennessee. You were at the University of Tennessee with your dad, and you gave your dad gave a speech up there. Tell us all about that speech, Jacob.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, this was the first event in what we are, Lord willing, wanting to turn into a series, a tour, if you will, of speaking events at universities throughout the country. How many exactly there will be, we don't know yet, but you know, we're wanting to make it a series of events to sort of pick up the slack after the whole debacle with Richard Spencer, because you know he was making some pretty serious waves with his university speeches as well, and then of course, like so many in our circles did in the aftermath of Charlottesville and with all the things that were going on with him, there came about a combination, a perfect storm, if you will, of pressures and things pressing down on him to where he sort of had to back away from the university speaking tour for a while, and my father was. Had been following that whole series of events with Richard Spencer pretty closely, and he, you know, noted that unfortunate set of circumstances, and noted also the sort of void that left. You know, it's still wide open in our estimation as a tactic, and then of course just symbolically, universities still represent a public venue, and despite the fact that we spend a great deal of time talking on this show about how bad everything is and the issues that we're facing as a people and as a nation, we still do have these venues open to us, however risky they may be at times, however much of a scene may be created at them at times. And symbolically, it's a whole nother level of decline when we truly get to a point where we can't hold events at these universities anymore. And similar to state parks, you know, they're not just public spaces, but there are events that the state itself will step in and provide security for should lefties and commies and all their cronies decide to attempt something violent or attempt to disrupt the event. So, you know, this is not something, an advantage that you're afforded at other public venues like a hotel or something, you know, hence why American Renaissance, to name one major organization that holds big events every year, had to start moving their events to a state park, the Montgomery Bell State Park, which is the same location where we're holding our event coming up in June. And it's a fantastic location with you know, hotel accommodations on site and a restaurant and everything. And because it's a state park, the government actually provides pretty heavy security there. And Jared Taylor had to stop holding events at Hilton's and places like that because Antifa would phone in bomb threats to the hotel, and the hotel would just unceremoniously cancel on them. And so universities are in a similar vein where, you know, we can still forge in there, and if we're willing to brave the elements and come whatever else may, we can still get in there, and we can still at least get a reasonable amount of protection from the police to carry the event out. Now, That being said, this recent event was provided a lot of invaluable insight into the viability of that whole strategy and where that's at right now. And, you know, really, there's only a couple of options open to us there. But, you know, before I get too far into that, I mean, I'm talking kind of fast here. Was there anything any of you guys wanted to interject before I continued?
You're doing great, but make sure, Jake, make sure you don't leave out what happened, how your dad charged the $20 to people come in. It was refundable if they acted like they had sense. Tell them how many people came there, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely, yeah. So, that whole thing ties in with what I was going to say before, you know, leaving you guys an opening to interject and everything. There's only a couple of ways you can really handle this at this point. And the short answer for those wondering, well, wait a minute, you know, universities, really, is that still a viable strategy and everything? The answer is yes, it absolutely is. It costs money, but, you know, nothing worthwhile ever comes easily or without some kind of financial investment, usually. And it is very viable, but there's really only a couple of options available to us at this time. You can keep trying the same exact method Richard Spencer was utilizing, where he basically just tries to make it as big an event as he can. And he welcomes people, you know, to just show up and participate in the event. And that would work fine if we weren't living in the complete and utter clown world that we're living in right now. And the reason why it doesn't work anymore, at least not very well, you know, it could with proper vetting and, you know, going through a lot of extra trouble maybe to carefully screen the crowd that you allow in. But you can't just fling wide the doors and invite a crowd in anymore, because what will happen is all of these lefties will come in and they will just disrupt the meeting nonstop. And I've heard stories of this going back to the 90s even. It just wasn't nearly as bad then. But my dad likes to tell a story about a David Irving meeting he was at where this guy, Daniel Levitis, was take note of that name there, Levitis. I don't know exactly what the guy's nationality was, but, you know, it's definitely one of those eyebrow-raising names, if you know what I mean. So, at any rate, this guy, Daniel Levitis, had an organization called, I want to say it was the Center for Democratic Renewal, and he had a bunch of his lackeys there at this event, and this organization was a sort of SPLC wannabe organization. It was very much then what the One People's Project by that guy that a lot of people in our circles have affectionately dubbed Fat Albert, Daryl Lamont Jenkins, has started, and it was kind of like that. And so what they would do is every time Irving would start giving his speech, one of the guys in their organization would get up and start chanting, shame, 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 over and over and over again. And the police would escort them out. And so David Irving would start speaking again. And then a couple minutes later, someone else would stand up and start chanting that same thing over and over and over again. And the police would escort them out. And finally, David Irving was just like, he said to Daniel Levitis, he's like, why don't you come up here and say something? So Daniel Levitis did. He came up there and he took the microphone. And how do you think he used this glorious opportunity he was given? Well, I guess we'll just have to go into that afterwards.
Well, Jacob, I should have had you on a longer time. We've got Monica Schaefer coming up. You'll have to finish telling people exactly how this speech went next week, hopefully, God willing. People, we'll let Jacob go. I'm so glad you came on tonight, Jacob. We're going to bring Monica Schaefer back up, and she'll be riding with us for the rest of the hour. And Matt's going to be pretty much riding shotgun on that with Lee. So hang on, we'll be right back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we were right back, and we're closing in on we just got through with the first segment, so we're going into the second segment, and after that, I guess the third segment comes, huh? Well, listen, we're going to have Matt coming on tonight. He's going to be helping me drive this interview. We have the one and only Monica Schaefer coming up tonight, and she's going to bring us some news about this lady who was arrested over, in Germany. She's going to tell us about that, and we've got a few other stories we want to talk about. She wants to cover about how this degeneration in the United States and Canada and the entire Western world is getting. How are you doing tonight, Miss Monica?
I am doing just great. Thank you so much for inviting me on again. I'm always happy to talk to you folks down there in Tennessee. So, yeah. Sylvia Stolz, you just mentioned, update on her situation. They finally went and picked her up from her home last Thursday, the 23rd of May, and put her in jail. She's now serving these 18 months prison time for a speech. Like, this is not some hardened criminal. This is somebody who has simply spoken the truth. And, you know, this speech that she gave that she is now in jail for, she wasn't even saying anything about this taboo subject, and it's all about the, you know, World War II history, the Holocaust, or the so-called Jewish Holocaust that they've been trying to ram down our throats, and we must never, ever, ever question this religion of theirs. And if we do, you know, we're in big, big trouble. But she was simply describing the legal situation in Germany around that and what had happened to her as a lawyer who was doing her job defending Ernst Zundel, who had then been imprisoned for this law that they have, this crazy law. And so she was simply describing that situation. She described how you're not allowed to say, you know, question the official narrative, and then you're not allowed to bring evidence into the court to defend your client who might have said those forbidden things, and you're not allowed to explain how you reached your conclusions, and that's breaking the law again. And then she was just describing that situation in another country, Switzerland. That was in 2012. And then she was charged for that. Now, that case dragged its way through the courts all this time. And in fact, I'm sort of intertwined. My case is intertwined with Sylvia Stolz because it was one of those trial dates January 3rd, 2018, was the day that I was arrested in Germany. So a year and a half ago, approximately now. And yeah, so we're sort of intertwined forevermore because of that. And so it's of great interest to me, and it should be of great interest to all of us, because as the devil gets, you know, ever more in a panic about us folks figuring it all out, which we are, many, many people are figuring it all out, and who is this devil? You know, we can talk about the JQ if you like. So they are in panic mode, that they are just taking out all, pulling out all the stops, going to such extremes that they have to put somebody in jail simply for describing the legal situation in Germany. And yeah, and you know, there's another story that just happened too. I'd like to tell you about it. Maybe some of your listeners have heard of a musician by the name of Graham Hart, and he has a fantastic song called Hoax Train. I encourage everybody to Google that. Google Hoax Train by Graham Hart. Fantastic song. And he was arrested also on May 23rd, Thursday, May 23rd.
Is he in Germany as well?
No, he is, you know, I'm not sure if he's in England or Ireland, but he was released after 8 hours of questioning and whatnot. And he kept on saying to them, is this a civil matter or a criminal matter? He kept asking this question, and they're not able to answer that. And that is a really excellent thing that we should all know. Just ask them, is this a civil matter or a criminal matter? And they're not able to answer those that question. It kind of perplexes them. So I'm just putting that out there into the world. I just learned of that, and I don't have much more detail about that one. But, yeah, it's interesting that happened on the same day. So those are some updates about, you know, our so-called freedom of speech that is very scarce.
Well, Monica, it seems like the EU is going full assault on anyone that stands up for this freedom of speech, this so-called freedom of speech, we'll say. Is that how we're perceiving this?
Yes, absolutely. So they are going full bore. They are really clamping down on the internet as well. Like, so much gets censored. You know, something gets released and within hours it'll be gone if it dares to touch upon any of these subjects that the masses are not supposed to, you know, open their eyes to. It is really bad, but you know, people can still find out, and it's almost to the point that I think, anyway, that it's to the point that people are gonna just realize from what they're seeing with their own eyes on the street does not correspond at all with what they're hearing in the mainstream media, and then the fact that all these things get censored, this in and of itself is rattling a lot of people awake. It really is. I mean, I think especially young people that dare to question anything, they really get it quickly. Like, they don't take so long as some of us who started figuring it out, you know, when we were a lot older. I mean, for me, I think my learning curve, it took me longer from when I first started to learn to, you know, about 9/11, and that was 10 years after 9/11. That was sort of the door that I went through. And then it took me a while to figure out the various layers. And I'm still learning, of course, that, you know, who knows how many more layers of deception there are. But still, you know, we kind of come to the conclusion after a while, when we're peeling off all these layers, that, gee, they're actually trying to get rid of the white race. You see, that's kind of the end point. And
amen.
Yeah, and also to destroy God. That is their strategy in all this. They use all kinds of disinformation and misinformation, and I ask myself, why would they lie about this and that and the other thing? And I realize they're trying to kill God, faith in God, belief in God, and with that, I mean, that's a huge factor in all of this. It's very, very important in our whole struggle here. You know, I'm sure that you would probably agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
What are they replacing God with? It's the devil. I mean, the devil is hard at work here. And, you know, and if you want to talk about who are these people, I mean, I think, you know, you just look at who owns the banks, who owns the press, who owns Hollywood, and who boasts about it. They boast about it. But if we mention it, then we're called anti-Semitic. There's the clue number one,
what the identity is
of these folks, you know?
You know,
I'm going to make a quick comment. Oh, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. But people should understand that power is equal to money. And in many cases, when they have all the power, they can make all the money in the world. And so they would rather crush opposition and keep power. They'll do it at a loss for many years until they are solely the ones in power, and then they can capitalize on all the wealth and money. And anyway, but one of the greatest assets that we have as individuals, as Christians, but especially as individuals under these oppressive regimes, is our family. You went and you've been advocating for your brother for years now. And you've been over there to visit with him, and you've been, you know. Monica, I'll pick up with a question as soon as we get back.
Great. We'll see you then.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
With 12 people dead and 4 injured after a gunman in Virginia Beach began a mass shooting at a city municipal building, questions are being asked of Congress about how it could have been prevented.
I don't have an answer to that question. The NRA and those that support the NRA have to answer that question.
Democratic Congressman Gregory Meeks on CNN. 11 of those killed were employees of the city. The gunman, identified as Dwayne Craddock, an engineer with the city's public utilities for 15 years. No motive has been given for the shooting. Colorado banned gay conversion therapy on Friday as the governor signed a bill one day before the start of LGBT Pride Month. Governor Jared Polis, who is openly gay, signed two bills dealing with LGBT rights, including the conversion therapy bill and another one allowing transgender and intersex individuals to update the gender on their birth certificate without needing proof of surgery by a court order or a legal name change. You're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Business leaders have come out against the president over his 5% tariff on Mexican goods in response to their inability to stop illegal immigrants from coming into the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Executive Vice President Neil Bradley says this tariff could ruin a very important trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
Very difficult to see how imposing unilateral tariffs will help you pass that agreement in Congress. There's lots of opposition. Plus, it undermines the very relationship that we've been building up with Canada and Mexico on these economic issues. So this is definitely a roadblock to securing passage of USMCA.
The chamber is considering a legal challenge. Arkansas law enforcement think the body of 4-year-old Malia Davis, who lived in the Houston area and not seen since May, has been recovered after her mother's ex-fiance confessed to killing her and leaving the body in a plastic bag in Arkansas. Authorities in Texas have been searching for Malia for nearly a month after her mother's ex-fiance, Darian Vince, first reported her missing. He's now been arrested and charged and remains in jail. This is USA Radio News.
Yeah. cold.
We're right back. We're going to go back to Matt in just a second. I'm going to make a quick comment or two about some things that me and Monica might want to talk about. And, of course, Matt. You know, we could say, why are the press, why is the control Zowel press so afraid? And Monica pretty much answered that. Because, you know, start waking up our people to the so-called lie about the Holocaust and the true Holocaust when there's been, you know, what I forgot how many millions, 35, 40 million babies killed right here in the United States alone, about the Ukrainian Holodomor that we talked about on this show for ad nauseum, the millions and millions and millions of Christians that were killed by the Jews in World War II, World War I. You know, they were so, if the thread ever starts coming unraveled, that's probably going to put the end to the end of them. You know, and something else people need to forget to remember, Matt made a comment. The money matters nothing to them. You know why? Because they print the stinking money. Unless they run out of trees to make pulpwood, as long as there's trees and cotton and linen here in the world, they can print enough money. They can print enough money to build a bridge to the friggin' moon. And I kind of shift gears a little bit, and I'm going to go back to Matt and our guest. I think I sent y'all an article about there was this transsexual prom king in Massachusetts. That kind of segues into something else I want to talk about. Me and Matt were talking about earlier today. People, you may not believe this, but they actually have animal brothels in Europe now. You can go into an animal brothel if you're some pervert, and you can pay your $20 or $40 or $50 down, and you can go in and you can get it on with a orangutan or a sheep or a goat. That's actually happened, people. I promise you. I swear it is. Matt told me just today, I didn't know this. Matt told me that they actually have robots, sexual slaves come out. You can have sex with a robot. But when you start having sex with animals, you're paying for that. And if you know what? If we were to criticize that, if Monica Schaefer or Matt or Lee or me, if we were to criticize that and say that's wrong, we would be called the haters. We would be called just, you know, toxic white males. Okay, what do you think about that, Matt? Matt, and when you get through, go right back to Monica.
These people have denied all truth, and they're so blind they don't even see their own actions as anything to be judged. And so that's why they say, when they tried to sell this stuff to us back in the 90s and the 2000s and even before all that, they always said, well, what I do with my own body is myself, you know, and what you do with yours is your choice. But folks, our choices affect each other. And this kind of gets back to a question I wanted to shoot over to Monica. When our choices affect each other, Monica, what do you say to these people that say, well, I can't be an activist because I've got family, or I'm too scared to get out there and do this, or I can't really, you know, say that. I can't do that. Simon, my brother Simon, has talked about important, powerful people who have talked about South Africa, but they say our power, the spirit in America, we can't help you right now. You're going to feel like we betrayed you, but we can't help you right now. You know, what do you say to these kind of people?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things I would say. The first thing is that if we do not solve our problem, then there really is nothing left. So whatever it is that those people who are afraid of, like they don't want to jeopardize whatever it is that they are trying to protect, well, those things will be gone if we do not resolve this. Now, that's not to say that everybody has to be doing, you know, the same thing and being full force out publicly and end up going to jail or whatever. There are many, many things that people can do, and everybody can contribute somehow. And, you know, it also might be that, you know, during a certain period of time, somebody is quietly behind the scenes but helping out a lot, and then when they are more free to come out more publicly, they can't, you know what I'm saying. So not everybody has to be sticking their neck out full force, but everybody should be helping. Everybody must help. Everybody must be doing something. And even if it's leafleting, you know, at a quiet time when nobody's going to notice who's leafleting, but, you know, putting leaflets out, and that's helpful. That's really helpful. So, yeah, that's the one thing I would say. And then I did have another thought, and I kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, Monica, While you're trying to remember your point, I'm all over that. That, you know what, that sets my blood boiling when people say, well, we can't expect Joe Jones to participate because he has a beautiful wife. He has kids. You know, God alone, he's got money in the bank. He's got bitcoins. He's got this. He's got that. Those are the very people that should be in the battle the most. They're the ones that have the most to lose. You know, you expect these people. That's the way it was. And I know I've been on this horn before about this thing, but that's the way it's been on all the wars. That's the way it was in Vietnam. You know, we had the poor white trash people, like, you know, same economic situation I'm in, you know, and we have your blacks in there that were just destitute. And those are the ones. And it, those are the ones that fought the Vietnam War. It wasn't these rich people. And when I say rich, it's somebody, they would define rich as somebody who had a wife, a couple of kids. You know, they're not supposed to get their hands dirty. Well, I say, you know what? You shouldn't expect some 19-year-old, illiterate, white trash spec four to go in there and get his guts blown out so you cannot have to get your hands dirty. Everybody needs to participate. Every soul needs to get in the fight. And don't tell me this crap that you got a wife and kids and I can't take a chance on that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to bleed for your stinking wife and kids. If you don't have enough guts, enough gumption to get in there and fight for them yourself, what are we supposed to do in there? Fight for them? Hell no. Hell no. What do you think about that, Matt?
You know, our brother Simon in South Africa, he talked about, he said he met with immensely powerful people who have lots of money. Presumably they have lots of money. And he wouldn't say these people's names, but they would say, well, you're going to feel like we betrayed you because we couldn't jump into the fight until the very end or whatever. This type of stuff. Listen, it's almost in the same breath these people will talk about the great things about Bitcoin, how anonymous Bitcoin is and how they can transfer money anonymously and stuff. So it's like the answers are slapping them in the face every day, and they're so blind they don't even see it. You know, if you have a lot of money and Bitcoin is so anonymous, then why don't you donate via Bitcoin to some of these people that need it? You know, don't sit here and tell me you can't do it because your power and your status. Don't sit here and tell me you can't do it because of your family. You're going to be held accountable.
Yes, and you may,
exactly.
And Matt, while you're on that, I'm going to chip in. While you're on that, people, we, and this isn't a commercial, but we're suffering for money right here in this show. If you like what we're doing, if you want us to participate, if you want Matt, if you like Matt going over to South Africa and we're risking his life because it's horrible over there. I hate it. We need to pray for Matt every day when he goes to South Africa. That includes you too, Monica. This young man, he's taking the bull by the horns. He's going over to probably the most dangerous place in the world right now. He's going over there as a representative for Blood River. We're going to Charlottesville, you know, the second anniversary of Charlottesville. We're doing all this not just for us. We're trying to do it for our people. But my God, you people, you can't get out and you can't risk your lily white neck because you have a beautiful wife and kids. You've got the bank account and all this crap. If you can't do it, if you don't have enough gumption and guts to do it yourself, send us some money because all this stuff costs money. It's probably going to cost Matt $3,000 before he gets back. But listen, we'll have a pay now button on our place. Hopefully by next week sometime. We've been struggling for it for about a month. But please keep us in mind, y'all. Please support our show. We're fighting for you, man.
Exactly.
Back to you, Miss Monica.
Yeah, and that falls into line with what I was saying. Everybody can do something. So these people who don't want to risk losing whatever it is they've got on the home front, and if they have money to spare, then that's where they can show their support is just buck up some money, please. Like, that's right. That's everybody can do something. And also what people can do is get active in educating each other, educate people. And that is hugely important. If it wasn't important, then the powers that should not be would not be spending so much effort, time, and money deceiving us. You see, I mean, that's this whole psychological warfare. Their war, and there is a war. It is psychological warfare, and that is what has reduced us to where we are right now. I mean, why most people are just going around in a zombie state and not having a clue of what's going on, it's because of the psychological warfare, all the deceptions where the world has been turned upside down, And, you know, criminals are on the outside locking up truth tellers who are behind bars. And, yeah, that is the nature of the upside down world. And it's just so Orwellian, where really, like, black is white and peace is war and liberty is freedom and all those other nice things that George Orwell put in his brilliant novel, 1984. And he was trying to warn us. He knew what was coming down the pipes. He knew. He was, I think he was an MI6. Maybe you know more about that, but he was,
yes, he was.
In the know.
Well, people, we got the music coming up. We're going to come right back. I'm going to make another comment as soon as we come back, and then we're going to go back to Matt. And we're going to talk about something me and Matt talked about yay all week. So please hang on to your seats, people, and please support us here at Blood River Radio. God knows we need it.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, If we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, people, we're right back. We may even have to talk over the music because every minute is valuable here. It costs money to be on the radio, people. Just like one guy told me, if you want to go fast, it takes money. I want to talk about a little video that me and Matt talk about. And after I talk about this mention, I'm going to go to Matt, and Matt's going to go to Monica. There was a little video I loved that Red Ice put out. It's called The Consequence of Cowardice. And I'm telling you, it nailed it. It talked about the so-called barbarian Germanic tribes back in the Roman days. They fought the Romans and utterly defeated them in a place called Cambrai, I believe, C-A-M-P-R-I. That doesn't matter where they fought, but they did. The Romans would not even, they were shamed so bad, they wouldn't even come out of their high wall fortresses. And the Germanic people were actually making fun of them. When they wouldn't, they tried taunting the Romans and taunting them over and over. Finally, when they left, they said, well, do you have any messages for your wives? Because we will be with them shortly. And that kind of illustrates the point we're talking about today. The thing hurting us white European people in the world right now, the number one ingredient we have missing, it's not what, Lord knows, we got PhDs out the yang. We got lawyers, we got doctors, we got everything under the sun. The one thing we don't have raw, manly guts and courage like we had here in the United States years ago when my dad was a man, young man. And that, if we had that, we wouldn't, if we had 20% of the men here in the United States and in Europe, that lady, Miss Stoltz, would not be in prison over there. The stinking, corrupt politicians would be in prison. And it's the same thing here in the United States. What do you think about that, Matt?
Absolutely. They have spoonfuled, given us by the spoonful over and over over time. Okay, they've got all the time in the world to sit here and do this, and we've taken it in. You know, it's kind of like the Boers in South Africa were kind of sending around this little pamphlet saying, if they had done all this, you know, if they had told us that our children would be last place in school and all this, well, there would have been a war. If they told us they were going to rip down all of our monuments when they sold us this rainbow nation, then there would have been a war. If they told us any one of these things at one time, there would have been a war. But they've done a little bit over time. It's not been one big thing at one time. And people don't realize they've accepted the poison, and the poison is taking mass effect. It's massively accumulating. And right now, we're all feeling the mass effect. And Monica, I'm going to tell you, like I went back to our family thing, you know, the best thing you can do for your people is what you're doing for your family, visiting them and sending out the message across all channels you can to talk about what's going on with Alfred. And I'm sure is Sophia or Sylvia in prison now?
Sylvia. Yeah.
Sylvia. I am certain that her family is pushing for her release, you know, and that's one big thing that we can all do. You know, that's one thing, that's y'all's place. My place is on this radio channel here. My place is going to South Africa to help out the people and make new friends and report back, you know. We all have a place. And these people that call themselves Christians in our country, they call themselves children of God. Listen, the Bible says, do not take the Lord your God's name in vain. If you call yourself a Christian and you are doing nothing, you are taking his name in vain. Please stand up and do something. If you call yourself a Christian, then it is your right and your responsibility to do Christian duties. And these things we're talking about on Blood River Radio, they are your Christian duties. Pulling your brother out of a fire, going and visiting people in prison. It's not caring about, you know, what sports game. It's not caring about what's going on at your neighbor's house. It's not caring about, you know, it is caring for your neighbors. It is caring about what types of things are being pumped into your TV, what types of things are coming into your household. That's the Christian duty you're to be concerned about. People, ew, this gets my blood boiling too, so I got to pass it off. Monica, what do you think?
Well, you've said it so well. Thank you so much. And I'd just like to add to what has happened now. We have been very, very comfortable for a long time, and that is what has led to this softening up of our people. That in combination, of course, with this quote-unquote re-education, in other words, the lies and deception. So the enemy within has done that to us with their psychological warfare against us, where, you know, we don't see bombs dropping on our heads, so we don't realize that there is a war against us, but that is exactly what has happened. And one of the clues to where we should be looking, exactly where we should be looking, is what are their most weaponized words? That gives us the clue to exactly what their agenda is. For example, when I first started learning about 9/11, and I hadn't yet looked into the Holo hoax, some people
called me anti-Semitic just for talking about 9/11, and then they were saying stuff like, oh, the next thing you'll do is deny the Holocaust, and at that time I said, oh, no, that's not going to happen, and then I go down that rabbit hole and I realize, oh, they knew something that I didn't know at the time. They were, like, this was, I'm sure he was a Jewish man, I just didn't know, but he was kind of trying to keep me off of that because that's such a taboo subject, you know. It's really scary to look at the Holocaust because it's been just drilled into us, right? And then when I started talking about the Holocaust or the Holo-hoax, let's say, then people were saying, oh, she's hanging out with these white supremacists. And I mean, I hadn't even really put two and two together yet at that point. I really hadn't. I had not yet sort of gone down that road of realizing what their agenda is, and that is actually to get rid of the white race. And then, you know, you're called racist right away for, you don't even understand why they're saying that, but then you look at those words, they give us the clue to exactly where we're not supposed to look, or but also what exactly their agenda is. I mean, we all know that racist is just code for anti-white, because whites are the only people who can be racist according to their in their books, you know, and so, yeah, white supremacy, like, what? I mean, I just thought, whoa, I'm just sort of standing up for our people, and I don't want to be destroyed along with our people, and then they call me white supremacist. What is that all about? So their language actually gives us the clue to exactly where they don't want us to go, and the words that are the most weaponized are exactly where we need to look to see what is going on.
Right. Yeah, yeah, these words instill fear. These words instill fear in us. And as the video that the Bombardier was talking about earlier, he said in the video, they said the Irish and Celtic people were fearless. They had no fear. Somehow or another, our people in this country have gotten fear into their hearts, and they need to embrace those roots of no fear and get back to that. Monica, I was talking about what's going on in our communities. We, as Christians, we need to be concerned about that. You had a transgender story that you wanted to talk about. What's going on in these communities?
Actually, I think we had just, Eddie and I had talked about, you know, this whole subject of what they're doing to the kids. I didn't have a specific story in mind right now, but what they're doing to the children. I mean, we have talked about the children before in terms of the demoralization of them and loading them with guilt in terms of, oh, white people are at the root of all evil type of curriculum. But this sexual perversion is just actually destroying their brains. And when they normalize something that is so perverse, as in, you know, children changing their sex. I mean, they don't even use the word sex anymore. They talk about genders because they have, you know, 1,000 different gender variations, which is just all complete hogwash and nonsense. And they're poisoning the children's minds with that. And this is their last assault. We have to protect our children. And I would say these days to people, don't send your children to school. I mean, parents en masse should just be pulling their kids out. You know, they send these kids on protests about climate, and that's a whole another story. We could talk about that because they're putting such fear into the children. Oh, the world's going to end in 12 years. This is all nonsense. And no, we should be doing the opposite. Pull the children out, not send them to school.
Well, tell the audience what happened in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that was Eddie. I don't even, like, I read that story there online after I was given the link by Eddie.
So
yes, that's what happened. Was what happened was up there, Matt, was that the Massachusetts school up there, the children in the school did not have a vote. They had a handful of teachers up there that selected a transsexual male to be prom king, and that's everywhere. They're having sex in the high schools. They're having sex in the libraries in some cities, probably right here in the United States. In California, it's horrible. But it boils down to what we've been saying. The bottom line here, before we run out of time, is we need to be like those Germanic women. The Germanic women at the Battle of Cambrai against the Romans, when the men threw down their shields and ran, the women would kill them. They killed their own sons. They killed their fathers. And, you know, the ancient Greeks, the Spartans, their women would tell their men, either come back with your shield or come back on it. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to go into battle. When people start trying to confront us with these shut up words, we need to say, shut up, liar. There's no such thing as a racist. There's no such thing as climate change. There's no such thing as a transsexual being wonderful. We're a bunch of perverted scum. And people, we've run out of time tonight. And by the grace of God, we'll be right back next week. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you so much, Miss Monica. You are certainly not going to be a stranger around here. Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam's daughter. God bless you. Pray for us. Pray for Bud River. God bless you. We'll see you this same time next week, God willing.